This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors, is 1224. And, Major, are you going to the FC game tonight?
I am. Right after I'm done my shift here, I'll be heading right over down to Clark.
Do you know that they have the beverages now?
I do. Yeah. I'm quite excited for that. Quite excited for that.
I heard that, like, from 30 people. You know, I'm going to the game. I always do, but this time there's bevvies. So it's should be a good time tonight. Very, very good Minnesota team. So
very good. And it's a nice little stretch coming up for FC. Three home games in 1 week, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
7 days.
Yeah, it's like... Tonight, I think it's
Wednesday evening, and then next Sunday. So it's a nice little stretch here.
Yeah, it should be. And it's very important in the standings, too. So now we're joined by Eric Tulski from Broad Street Hockey and NHL Numbers. How are you this afternoon, Eric?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good stuff. Now, we had you on a few weeks ago, and it was we got more reaction from your segment than we've had from any other, and that's going back about 18 months. People are excited about this and want to understand it, and I do, too. I've been reading on it, and it's fascinating. And I read the NHL number stuff, and then I went over to your four-part series that was specifically on the Flyers and zone entries that's at Broad Street Hockey. And this is really groundbreaking stuff, because some of the stuff that I got from it, like Jágr being a good possession player and gaining entry, was solid. But there were some other underlying things that were a surprise to me. From what you've done so far, do you feel the same way? Some are major surprises and others are, I thought that was the way.
Yeah, that's exactly where I think it is. And, you know, you got to have some things that match with your intuition, or else you're going to just question all of it. But enough of it matches with what you'd expect to see going in that it gives you some confidence that what we're doing is really generating the data that we expected it to. And it makes you start to believe, hey, maybe those more surprising looking things might have something behind them. And, you know, it's just one team's data yet, and so the things that are way out there, we really need to work to confirm. But I feel pretty confident that we're learning some stuff from this that I don't think we knew about the game before.
Well, the thing that I learned from last time and then reading the NHL number stuff and now the Broad Street Hockey stuff is that carrying the puck into the offensive zone results in more than twice the number of shots on goal. And I think we intuitively know this from dealing with the Russians in 72 and watching those great Habs teams of the 70s, certainly the Oilers of the 80s. But when it's in black and white for all teams, and the Flyers are kind of a mishmash of skill and thunder and physical play, it's really obvious for them too. So how many seasons would we have to see that look like this before we can start drawing general conclusions?
Yeah, so that's one of the ones that I actually feel pretty solid about right now. The difference was huge. I mean, like you say, they get more than a half a shot per entry if they carry the puck in, and about a quarter of a shot per entry if they dump it in. And the same thing with goals. You get about a goal every 25 times you carry it in and about every 60 times you dump it in. There's enough entries over the course of a season that's pretty solid statistically. There's been a lot of time for that to really prove to be their talent level. Like you say, it's just the Flyers, so you can wonder about the other teams, but I looked at the opponents. And so, you know, they've got four or six games against each of their conference rivals, and none of them were below 4/10 of a shot carrying it in or above 3/10 of a shot dumping it in.
Wow.
And so it's, you know, even in those little four-game samples across all these different teams, it was always substantially better to carry it in, usually more than 50%, often double.
On our blog, we had a lot of people asking about specific Oilers and how they might be, Hemsky, Hall, that sort of thing. Were the guys driving the bus for the Flyers the men we would expect to drive the bus for the Flyers?
Yeah, so the one that stood out, I think, is Jake Voracek. So the top guys in terms of getting a lot of zone entries and being able to carry it in were the guys you'd expect. It was Jágr and Giroux and Briere. But Voracek was right up there with those three. And that has the readers of Broad Street Hockey pretty excited about what he's going to do in the coming year if he gets on a line with Giroux and can really drive the play.
Once you have that information, does it help you to understand what coaches are trying to do? Maybe marry a puck mover or a puck possession player with a sniper. Can you kind of see what they're attempting to do, or were you left with more questions than answers with regard to the coach?
Yeah, so one of the things we looked at was how involved each player was in bringing the puck over the line and how effective they were. So how often was this player the one who brought the puck over the line, and how often did he manage to do it without having to dump the puck in? And it seemed pretty clear that on each line there was one or two guys who were designated to carry the puck in, and one or two guys who were, if they got the puck, it was just to dump it in and go chase, and you not to have that happen. The thing that was that really jumped out from that analysis was that there was one line that seemed to be inefficient. So Briere was on a line with Wayne Simmonds, and Simmonds actually dumped the puck in an awful lot, more than any other top nine forward on the team, and yet he was very heavily involved in the offense. And so that's one of those things where it looks like the coach, you know, the coach has something to work on there, that Simmonds shouldn't be getting the puck that often if he's capable of carrying it in the way Briere is. But across the other lines, it seemed almost without exception how involved they were with the puck exactly matched how good they were at gaining the line with possession.
And I think it's important that one of the areas that was questioned when I was talking to people about your work is that you take great pains to make sure that you're dealing with specific situational scores. These aren't 5-1 or 6-2 elements you're looking at. This is when it's close or tied, right?
Yep. So one of the things that I've looked at is how these sorts of things change as a function of score. And there definitely is an effect. It looks like where the effect really comes from is when a team has a big lead, they will tend, when they have to dump it in, they won't chase after it. They'll go for a line change instead. And so that ends up affecting a lot of the percentages. But the numbers I'm quoting now are even if you just look at the close games where there aren't any of those kind of changes of strategy.
Are you looking at things like odd man rushes and how they impact, or is that another study?
Yep, so that was another thing that we did, was every time a zone entry was the product of an odd man rush, we noted that so that we could pull those ones out and make sure they weren't making carrying it in look way more effective. And it turns out there just aren't that many odd man rushes in today's game.
Right.
So they have a small effect, but not much. It's not changing the qualitative result.
Are you beginning to, one of the problems that I'm having understanding, and it's, you know, being 50 doesn't help, I'll be honest, Eric, but what are the performance metrics that you're establishing? By that I mean, is there a zone entry success ratio per player number that we can begin to start, you know, quantifying this and ranking players?
Yep, so there is. When I started this out, I had a million numbers, and I didn't really know what to do with any of them. And so I just tracked them all and over time looked to see which ones wound up being most important. And at the end, I found out that it seemed like the three things that are most important for neutral zone success are how often do you win the possession, so how often, if the puck's in the neutral zone, does your team move it forwards instead of having the other team do it? And then when you move it forwards, how often do you manage to keep possession instead of having to dump it in? And when they move it forwards on you, how often do you make them dump it in instead of letting them keep possession? And you can roll those three numbers up together into an effective neutral zone score that basically says how much of an edge in shot differential came from how this guy did in those three neutral zone metrics. And so you might say, you know, the team was 4% better in shot differential with this guy on the ice, just because of how often he won the neutral zone.
It's funny because I've been watching hockey since like the 60s, and I knew the neutral zone was important because, if you get a fast player and he can hit him on the fly, he can, you know, he can beat his man in a heartbeat. But these numbers that you're putting together here, the shot differential and the goal differential and tracking it back to the neutral zone, that's some amazing stuff. That's got to be the heart of what you're doing.
Yep, it is. And I think, you know, everybody knows that carrying the puck across the line is better than dumping it in. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. What's a surprise is how much better it is, and also how much of the results seem to be coming from just that part of it. So it turns out that in terms of number of shots you're going to get, or the likelihood that you're going to get a goal, those are both much more tied to whether you manage to carry the puck across the line than to how good of a player you are. So once Zach Rinaldo carries the puck across the line, he's going to get about as many shots as Claude Giroux will. They won't be as high-quality shots because he's not as good of a player.
Right.
But shot quality tends to be less of a factor than people think it is. Just shot quantity is awfully important. And Giroux's getting no more shots from each of the times he carries it in than Rinaldo is. And that, I think that's one of those things, you know, along with carrying it in being so much more important than dumping it in, it also carrying it in being more important than who has the puck is pretty surprising.
Yeah. It's funny because when you apply this logic into history, you realize that one of the probably one of the most efficient plays in history was Denny Savard skating into the blue line and doing that curl, right?
Yep.
You see, gains possession without actually doing anything, and it allows everything to set up. That's an effective play.
It is.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
It's an amazing stat. Now, what have we got to look forward to? I know you've been ramping it up. You've got some great stuff about Rick Nash and his scoring, but you've also done several things on this particular issue. So can we look forward to more here throughout the summer, or are you have you exhausted the data so far?
I think I'm most of the way through the zone entry stuff. There's a little bit of stuff I still want to write up, like on the score effect thing that I mentioned. I haven't quite finished that. But mostly at this point, I've done most of what I can with last year's data, and what I'm doing now is enlisting people to start tracking other teams so that we can make sure that what we saw for the Flyers is general across other teams. And so with a lockout looming, we've got some people who are assuming we're not going to have next year's games for a while and starting to go back through last year's. And I've got some other people signed up who are eager to look at next year's when that happens. And so that's when we'll get the next wave of articles about this, is when we start to have multiple teams and we can compare styles and effectiveness.
So anybody who wants to help out, they just reach you at NHL Numbers? Or?
Yep.
Okay.
The easiest way to reach me is probably on Twitter. My
okay.
Twitter handle is BSH_EricT. That's Eric with a C. Yeah, everybody who contacts me, I can get in touch with them. I can set them up with some templates that we have for helping people record the chances. And the templates actually, they do a lot of the work to calculate all of these numbers. And all you have to do is really record who carried the puck across the line and what time on the clock was. And the template will do all the rest of it.
Eric, thanks for this. Appreciate it very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Eric Tulski from Broad Street Hockey and NHL Numbers. Want to check out both of those locations, Broad Street Hockey and NHL Numbers. And you know what? I talk to a lot of guys who know way more about this than I do, and they have really been excited about this particular item. Not because, as Eric says, not because we didn't know that intuitively that carrying it over had more impact, but the ratio is massive. And so you can make a case for, as he said, for, you know, if you've got Daniel Briere in a line with Wayne Simmonds and Simmonds is dumping the puck in, that's probably already a tactical mistake for that line, because if they do retrieve it, it's going to take 10 more seconds of heavy lifting to get it. Chances are Briere could just do the Savard, you know, pin curl there and end up with the same thing happening with the possession taking place. Okay, now that's some really big thinking, and I hope you followed it, and I especially hope that you will read online more about it. NHL Numbers is full of this stuff, and it really is groundbreaking, and it allows you, I think, to see the game in a different way and to enjoy it at a different level too. And so this is the Bill Jamesing of hockey. But, and if you're not into it, that's cool, because hockey is an enjoyable game on all kinds of levels. But, you know, if you are wondering why Alex Hemsky is a guy that people rave about, or why it's so important that Taylor Hall, shoots through the right-hand side, stops, then gives the puck off to the Nuge on the power play or whatever the case may be, and the important part of that whole transaction was Hall gaining the zone. We know that. Now we're beginning to get an idea about just how important it is, and as it turns out, it's way more important than we thought. And we thank Eric and all the folks at NHL Numbers for doing this kind of work, because it's fascinating. Going to take a break. Thomas Drantz on the way from Canucks Army. We'll talk about Luongo, Arnott, the Northwest Division, and more. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.